Good morning, church family, and please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5 now. If you have your Bible with you, open to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Our subject today, be filled with the Spirit. Last Sunday morning, Whit Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost and we spoke about the purpose of Pentecost. And this morning we're going to speak about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then, God willing, during this Whitsuntide, we will speak next Sunday about the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You have all heard of John and Charles Wesley, and some of you may not know that their first mission was an utter failure, that they went to the United States to help Governor Oglethorpe of Georgia and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the American Indians. And they returned, I think it was 2 years later, feeling utter failures, feeling totally discouraged and down. But then God did a wonderful thing in their lives. Within a few days of each other, both Charles and then John were infused with the Holy Spirit of God. And God saved the British Isles from a duplication of the French Revolution because of the preaching of John Wesley and George Whitefield, and because of the hymns. Charles wrote over 6,500 hymn texts. And through these men, and through the prayers of God's people, and through the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, God saved the British Isles from going down the tubes. He needs to do it again, doesn't he? He needs to do it in our nation too. The key is the third person of the Trinity. How tragic that so much of Christianity today is so pitifully superficial. How tragic that so many believers today have such a superficial Christology, so sadly lacking in a true understanding of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how sad today that so many believers around the world have such a pitiful pneumatology, such a poor understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Let's read together from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I don't have to remind you that when a person is intoxicated under the influence of alcohol, that person behaves unnaturally, naturally. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that person behaves supernaturally, naturally. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to cleanse her, making her holy by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And verse 9, masters, treat your slaves or your servants in the same way. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we consider our text this morning. And the reason I've read these verses is to make sure that we put our text in context so that we don't come up with a pretext, as so many do. Let's begin by looking at different ways in which the phrase filled with the Spirit is used in the Bible. In the first instance, it is used of a specific experience in time, of a specific occasion, of specific individuals. For example, we read in Luke 1:41 that Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was filled with the Spirit. In Luke 1:67, Zechariah, his father, we read, was filled with the Spirit. In Acts 4:8, we read that Peter was filled with the Spirit. And in Acts 13:9, that Paul was filled with the Spirit. In each of these instances, it was an event in time. It was remarkable enough to be mentioned and recorded in Scripture. In other words, these fillings of the Holy Spirit that are recorded in Scripture were not just a doctrine or a teaching, they were a significant experience in the life experience of those individuals. So significant was the experience that it was visible, it was noticeable, it was audible, it was recognizable. And that's why it is recorded. On each occasion, utterance was given through the Holy Spirit in bringing authoritative and inspired words of God, either in prophecy or praise or preaching or judgment. Paul's initial filling of the Holy Spirit at the hands of Ananias in Damascus was also accompanied, you remember, by the healing of his blindness, apart from the transformation of his life. In other words, things that only God can do take place when people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. These occasions are not altogether unlike what happened in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came mightily upon King Saul and he prophesied. And the Holy Spirit came mightily upon Samson, and he did remarkable feats through the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to him. And through the prophets who were able then to say, "Thus says the Lord." We also need to understand that these were experiences of the moment, but they didn't necessarily indicate a continuing state that was maintained. Nor did these fillings make the recipients instantaneous perfect saints. Long after his experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter's heart was still full of racial prejudice against Gentiles, as we see in Acts chapter 10. And Paul had a flaming row with Barnabas over John Mark's suitability for the mission field, as we see in Acts 15 and verse 39. But listen carefully, then the Holy Spirit is not a quick fix that takes care of all our character flaws, but it is a highly significant impartation of divine grace and power. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a significant impartation of divine grace and power that makes a significant difference in the life of the Christ follower. Secondly, the phrase filled with the Spirit is used of specific experiences on specific occasions when an entire group is mentioned and involved. It happened time and time again in revivals in church history. Don't you love that hymn we have just sung? Come breath of God, come sweeping through us. In revival, this is what happens time and again. Not just an individual, but often a whole group of individuals who come under such divine influence in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that it could be said of the whole group, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And the disciples began to speak and extol the Lord in languages they had not learned naturally, as the Holy Spirit enabled them, so that everyone gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world for the festival of Pentecost could hear God and the wonders of God in their own tongues and recognize something supernatural is taking place here. Then Peter preached an expository sermon, and 3,000 Jews believed in Yeshua as their Messiah, Redeemer and Lord, and they were baptized and received the Holy Spirit and were added to the believing community, and the church of the Lord Jesus was born through 3,000 believers being added to the 120 that were already there being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jerusalem was never the same again. For Jesus had said 10 days before, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is primarily for mission, for the proclamation of the gospel from where we stay to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is not given to God's people for kicks, but for the extension and exaltation of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were all filled. Would it not be a wonderful thing if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God in this building today? Some for the first time, perhaps. Perhaps others for the umpteenth time. The filling of the Holy Spirit is sometimes used for individuals in a moment of time. Sometimes it's used for a whole group on a specific occasion. Thirdly, the phrase filled with the Spirit is used of a general condition of individuals. We've seen it can be a specific event. Now we see it can be a general description of a person whose ongoing characteristic is the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Luke tells us that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Doesn't mean he was perfect, but it does indicate that God the Holy Spirit had a destiny for this infant that would be fulfilled by the enabling of the Holy Spirit of Jesus himself. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But at the time of his baptism in the River Jordan at the hands of John, you will recall that the Holy Spirit descended visibly upon him in the form of a dove. And Jesus was empowered, enabled, equipped so that he could go forth into his public ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus remained filled with the Holy Spirit all the days of his life on earth. Something no other person has ever attained in such an unbroken, absolute way. The expression is also used in this way in the choosing of the 7, when problems arose in the church in Jerusalem because it was growing so rapidly. It had grown on the day of Pentecost from 120 to 3,000, then it grew to 5,000, then it grew to 10,000. And of course, there are always problems when things are growing. And so the apostles say, choose 7 men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. 7 men who were known to operate in the full blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. 7 Christ-like men, full of spiritual wisdom. The church needed 7 men who were spiritually mature, known to rely on the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit of God. Stephen is described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And the inference in Acts 6:5 is that all the other 6 possess the same quality of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God in an evident way. The New Testament uses the phrase filled with the Spirit in one that we must understand the context in. Clearly, it is not true of all individual Christians that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled to the same degree, or always filled all the time. But surely every Christian in this chapel this morning, if they are Christians indeed, would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and controlled by Him, so that they could be more and more like Jesus and finish more effectively the work that Jesus has left us to do. Filled with the Holy Spirit constantly and continuously to the greatest degree possible. That's what I want. I'm sure that's what you want if you're a follower of Jesus. That Christ may be all and in all. That we may live in wholehearted submission to the Lordship of Jesus in every area of our life. Surely that's the longing of every sincere believing heart. It was true of Stephen, it was true of Barnabas, it was true of Saul, it was true of Jesus himself. God, may it be true of us that we will be men and women in this fellowship who are known because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus and we're continuing the work of Jesus day by day. Wisdom and power and grace from God the Holy Spirit. Whenever the need arises, specific filling for witness and service, for intercession and ministry, and being filled again and again to glorify God by word and by deed. And so this brings us to our text in Ephesians 5:18, an imperative in a whole chain of imperatives in the original Greek regarding how to live as children of light, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek verb is in the present continuous, it is in the passive voice, and it is plural. In other words, it is a command for all Christians all the time to so live in humble, transparent, submissive trust and obedience to Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will have full access to every area of our life and being to control and equip us for ministry to the Lord, ministry to each other, and ministry to the world. And that the whole of our being may be infused with the Spirit of Pentecost, an enabling of the Holy Spirit, that in the terms of the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, will empower us to put off the deeds of the old sinful nature, Ephesians 4:22, and to be imitators of God Himself, Ephesians 5:1, living a Christ-like life of love, verse 2, living as children of light, verse 8, making the most of every opportunity for Christ, verse 16, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with all of our heart, always and in everything and for everything, giving thanks to God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, our living head. wives submitting to their Christian husbands as to the Lord, Christian husbands loving their Christian wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, Christian children obeying their Christian parents, chapter 6, verse 1. Christian fathers bringing up their children in the training and ways of the Lord, chapter 6, verse 4. Christian employees giving of their very best to their superiors. Christian employers treating their employees justly and well. That's what it means to be filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Paul goes on to say, it also means being strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It means putting on the full armor of God and waging a good warfare in the Spirit. Because we're not wrestling just against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, we are to put on the belt of truth as it is in Jesus. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the shoes of the gospel of Christ. We're to put on the helmet of salvation. We are to raise up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word the Holy Spirit enlivens to us as we're on mission with Jesus. And we're to take up the shield of faith by which we quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, counting on the Holy Spirit's help. That's what it means to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you doing? How am I doing? What are we involved with? What are we doing? Oh, beloved, if I, the chief among sinners, can have a life transformed by the filling of the Holy Spirit, so can anyone. In terms of Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, which is crucial to our understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means being strengthened with all might by His power in our innermost being, so that Jesus can reside and reign in our hearts through faith, and so that we, together with all the saints, will know all the dimensions of the wonderful love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness of God, this God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine by His mighty power that is at work within us. It's the only way there can be glory in the church, now by Christ Jesus and throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. If all God's people were filled with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with all the fullness of God, there would be less bickering, there would be less of the flesh, there would be more of the display of Jesus in our lives and in His church. The world would sit up and take note, because they would see something that cannot be explained naturally. They would see something that cannot be explained in human terms. They would see evidence of the supernatural, and they would become conscious of God. That's why we pray for revival in the church, so that it may result in a great awakening in the community and in our society, in our city and across the nation. And more than that, listen carefully, more than that, Ephesians 10 says God's intention is that His church not only displays His grace and power and wisdom on earth, but also to the heavenly realms. Do you understand that? That's how high our calling is as the body of Christ on earth. God needs a Holy Spirit-filled community of Christ followers to put on display the power and the grace and the love and wisdom of God to the heavenly realms. That is, Satan and all his demonic forces should be able to see and cringe and reel back in utter defeat because of the power and authority that Jesus, the head, has vested in his church, so that even principalities and powers would bow before the display of Almighty God in Christ through his body on earth, the church. Ephesians 3:10 says, the intention is that the church not only displays his grace and power and wisdom on earth, but also to the heavens. To be specific, the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And that includes Satan's demonic host in the unseen world. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. The task of the church is to overcome all the power of the enemy. Who is the prince of the power of the air? And so he's having a heyday, this devil, because today the airwaves are carrying his filth to every corner of the globe. Read Ephesians, read Colossians, read the New Testament. The will of God is that you and I be filled with all of his fullness, the fullness of the Godhead that dwelt in Jesus. We have fullness in Christ, we are complete in Christ, we are mature in Christ, we are made whole in Christ, we are perfected in Christ, we have victory in Christ. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the life and power and grace of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not fill men to glorify men. He fills men and women to glorify Jesus. To glorify Jesus both on earth and in the heavenly places. The supreme purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the triumph of Jesus Christ's redeeming grace, both on earth and in the heavenly realms. Did you know that? The filling of the Holy Spirit will also result in a full-orbed ministry of the Spirit in the church, where manifestations of the Holy Spirit will bring forth such things as prophetic utterance, words of knowledge, wisdom, discernment of the origin of spirits, supernatural healings, all kinds of ministries that are for the common good of the body of Christ, to build the whole body of Christ to maturity, until we all attain to the full measure of the Son of God. To look upon the filling of the Holy Spirit, on the one hand, as a mere doctrine of the Christian church, or on the other hand, as a mere subjective and self-gratifying experience, comes abysmally short of what the Bible sets forth for God's people as the limitless possibilities of his blessing. Not only for the individual, but for the world to see a church that is putting Jesus on display. Christians have tended to be far too individualistic, and they have often ignored the corporate ministry of the Holy Spirit's filling in the body of Christ to their detriment. And I say again, what a wonderful thing it would be if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God this morning. Only then will we have the unity and the power to win our community for Christ. God is willing. The Holy Spirit is willing. Are we?
are you?
Am I? Are we willing to be emptied of self? Are we willing to be cleansed from all sin? Are we willing to be invaded and infused by the third person of the Trinity, the blessed Holy Spirit, who comes to form Christ in us and to convict us of anything and everything that is grieving to Him? It's as simple as that. We cannot stay full of the Spirit unless we're willing to follow Christ and let Him be Lord of our bodies and their passions, our minds and their thoughts, our wills and their choices, our hearts and their affections. It's as simple as that. We cannot become a Spirit-filled people unless we're willing to build our relationship with God and with each other every day in selfless, trustful obedience, because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Acts 5:32. It's as simple as that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to submit to Jesus Christ as head and Lord of all. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to submit to the leadership that Christ has appointed in His church. Hebrews 13:17. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to be willing to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But surely your heart, like mine, longs for this fullness. Nothing can compare, nothing can begin to compare with the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit, who produces in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the life and character of Jesus. The world has seen enough of John Brooms. The world needs to see Jesus. The world has seen enough of you. The world needs to see Christ in you. The only way the world is going to see that is when you submit in total surrender to the Lord Jesus and open every avenue of your being to the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Blessed Holy Spirit, come again today. Come and dwell us fully in a mighty way. We are longing, waiting for your grace and power. Blessed Holy Spirit, come on us this hour. Come upon us now. Come upon us now. Hungry, thirsty, longing, we before you bow. Work in all your fullness, in and through us all. Hungry and obeying, Lord, in faith we call. Blessed Holy Spirit, let Shekinah fall. May your holy glory come upon us all. May your fire and glory now on us descend. Put your seal upon us, then in service send. Blessed Holy Spirit, work so all can see. Exercise your lordship, all your ministry. Work in power more fully than we've seen or heard. 'Tis your blessed promise. 'Tis your holy word. Blessed Holy Spirit, oh, do not delay. Come in might and glory. Come on us today. 'Tis for you we hunger. It is you we need. Blessed Holy Spirit, come, O come, we plead. Amen.